We have the privilege again of having the Word of God opened to us. So let's turn to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 1. Mark 1. And we'll read the verses 40 to 45. Mark 1:40. Now a leper came to him, that's to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Thus far, God's word. Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord and most merciful Father in heaven, we bow before you this afternoon as children, and ask that you would tenderly teach us, that our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the exalted prophet, would by his word and spirit direct us concerning the will of God for our salvation. We pray that you would open our ears that we might hear your word, that you would open our hearts that we would receive your word, that you would open our eyes that by faith we might see the Lord Jesus pictured before us in all of his multifaceted glory as the one mediator between God and man. And we pray these things in his precious name. Amen. Children, there was a story written many years ago about a young boy named Tom. He lived with his twin sisters, Nan and Bet, his mother, who was very sweet and kind, and his grandmother and father, who were very cruel and harsh. They would send young Tom out on the streets of London, United Kingdom, every day to beg for money, and if he didn't come home with enough money, they would beat him and send him to bed without eating. And one of the ways that Tom coped with the hardships and difficulties of his life was to think and dream about being a prince. Well, one day, he was walking through the streets of London. He came upon a wall with wonderful gates, and he peered through the gates, and he saw a young boy who looked like a prince playing out in the courtyard. As he pressed his face closer to see better, some soldiers saw him and beat him and drove him away. Well, the prince saw the treatment that young Tom received and ordered the soldiers to take Tom back so that Tom could share a meal with the prince. And that's what they did. They had dinner together. And as they were talking about their lives, Tom said that he was envious of the prince. He would love to be dressed in clothes like that. And the prince said, "I would love to be dressed like you in your rags and not have to worry about all the stiff clothes. And to be able to slide down the muddy banks of the River Thames would just be the best thing in all the world." And as they chatted with each other, they decided to trade clothes. And so the prince took Tom's rags, and Tom took the prince's clothes. And as they had each other's clothes on, they looked at each other and recognized that they were very much alike. They could hardly tell themselves apart. Well, the soldier saw the prince, who was now dressed in Tom's clothes, out in the corridor. And they took him, and they dragged him outside, and they put him on the streets of London. Now Tom, he was dressed in the prince's clothes, looked like the prince, and they treated Tom as if he were a prince, and he had to learn all the rules of the royal household. They thought he had amnesia and forgot everything that he had been taught previously. So these two boys not only traded clothes, they traded places. The prince is treated like a beggar, and the beggar is treated like a prince. And that really is a summation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus, comes and trades places with sinners. And you see that wonderfully worked out in this delightful little pericope at the end of Mark's first chapter. Let's first look at the leper. If you know anything about leprosy in Jesus' day, you know that it was one of the most humiliating experiences an individual could have. There were, of course, all kinds of degrees of leprosy. If you go to the Old Testament, to the book of Leviticus, chapters 13 and 14, you'll see the manual of dermatology there. And to know that leprosy ranged from a slight rash to having parts of your body eaten away because of this disease. And we don't know exactly what kind of condition this leper had, but it actually doesn't really matter how his leprosy looked, medically speaking. For sure, there were medical complications with leprosy, but the real problem with leprosy was its social implications. It really separated you from the common humanity. Just listen to what it says here in Leviticus 13, the verses 45 and on. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, "Unclean, unclean." He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. That was the real problem for a leper. It's not just that it robbed him of his health, but it robbed him of his social engagement. It took away his family. It took away his work. It took away his worshiping community. He was on the outside. He was subject to superstition and fear. No one would have anything to do with him. And whenever he would come into the presence of the clean, he'd have to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." And so you can well imagine the urgency with which this leper comes to Jesus. It's not just that he's unwell, it's that he's unclean. And he pleads with Jesus, and he says to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And you notice that it's not healing he's asking for, it's cleansing. Because the problem with leprosy is not so much the medical implications as the social repercussions. A leper was unclean. And that's why in the Bible leprosy is such an appropriate picture to describe the human condition. It describes us as sinners very well. Because you'll recognize that sin, the real problem with sin is its social implications, the way it affects our relationships. I mean, we understand that even in our human interrelationships with one another, that if there's sin, there are problems. When parents are harsh and unkind to their children, the children suffer from that and the relationship is hampered. When children are disobedient to their parents, that too has implications. But the real sadness of sin is not the social implications between humanity so much as it is between humanity and God. We are all unclean. Now, it's difficult at times for us to grasp that, really, because we live with one another, and we don't have to call out "unclean, unclean" whenever we meet each other. But let me remind you that neither did the leper. When the leper met a fellow leper, he didn't have to cry out "unclean, unclean." It was only when he came into the presence of the clean. And since we're all sinners, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, it can begin to feel like this is a normal condition and that sin doesn't really have significant social implications. But the problem is, it really does. And you only really begin to understand how desperately unclean we are as sinners when we come into the presence of the clean. When we come into the presence of the holy. When we stand face to face before the God whose eyes are too pure to behold evil. When we come before the God in whose presence the wicked cannot dwell. Then only do we see how desperately unclean we really are. And this has been the experience of the saints of God throughout history. You remember Isaiah in chapter 6 when he's given that vision of the Lord high and lifted up and seated on his throne, and the train of his robe filled his temple. And when Isaiah receives this audio-visual presentation of the holiness of God, remember the seraphim cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." What was Isaiah's immediate response? "Woe is me," he says. "I'm finished. I'm undone. Because my eyes have seen the Lord of glory, and I become a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And the real striking thing is there, is that the holiest part of Isaiah's anatomy was really his lips, because they were the channel through which he said, "Thus says the Lord." And yet, to him, the cleanest part of his humanity, of his anatomy, was actually the uncleanest, because he had come face to face with the Lord of glory. Unless you think that's just an Old Testament experience, let me remind you of that incident in Jesus' ministry when he told the disciples to go fish after having fished all night and caught nothing. And Peter says, "Well, we've done it, but nevertheless, because you said it, we will." And they went and fished, and they had so many that the nets began to break. And what's happening there is that there's this unveiling of Jesus Christ. His majesty and his glory is peeking through. And when Peter understands this about Jesus, he falls before him and he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." That is, when the unclean comes into the presence of the clean, when the unholy stand face to face with the holy, it is then that we recognize how desperately unclean we are. Well, how do we get to know our uncleanness? Obviously, we don't receive visions of the holiness of God. Christ is no longer here. Well, let's ask this question. How did the leper know that he was a leper? Well, that's the answer, isn't it? It was from the law of God. So that he would go to the priests, and the priests would examine him in connection with all of God's requirements, and the priests would be able to diagnose, "Yes, you do have leprosy. You are unclean." And if a number of weeks later the spot was gone, he would return to the priest, and the priest would examine him again in connection with this manual of dermatology. And he would say, "Yes, you are now declared clean." So that the law diagnosed his uncleanness, declared his cleanness. But the one thing the law could not do was to deliver him from his uncleanness. And that's what the law does in our lives as well. As we stand face to face with the law, which is a transcript of the holiness of God, we can examine ourselves in light of the law. We can read the commandment, "You shall have no other gods." And we say, "I've broken that one. I've had a million of gods, millions of gods. I have put myself on the throne. I have put myself on the pedestal. Everything and everyone needs to exist for me." You shall not have a graven image of God. Well, I've made all kinds of images of God. I like to think of him like this, or I like to think of him in this way. And you could go down the commandments. You could see you shall not commit adultery. And you can think of the lustful thoughts. You can think of the things that you've seen on the internet that you ought not to see. You can say, I'm guilty. It's the law of God that condemns us, that diagnoses our sinful condition, that highlights how unclean we really are. And the law tells us how perfect we must be if ever we were to come into the presence of a holy God. But the one thing the law of God cannot do any more for the leper than it could for us, and that is to deliver us from our uncleanness. And so if you sense the unholiness of your life, if you recognize and lament the uncleanness of your heart, you can all the more understand why this leper came to Jesus and why he implored him and why he knelt before him and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. It made all the sense in the world why the leper would come to the Lord Jesus. And what we see is that the Lord Jesus is uniquely qualified to help this leper. It's evident that the Lord Jesus was able. Notice that the leper didn't doubt this at all. He doesn't say to the Lord Jesus, if you are willing, you might be able to make me clean. No, there was no doubt in his mind at all that this Jesus was able to remedy his situation. And of course, it's because the news of Jesus was spread all over. Everyone heard about Jesus, how the demons were cast out and people were delivered from their bondage, how the sick were healed, the dead were raised. Everyone knew about Jesus. And it was the same for this fellow. Here I am. I'm a leper. There's no way that I can get cleansed on my own. And the only one who can give me a glimmer of hope is the Lord Jesus, because I know that he can do it. The Lord Jesus, you can make me clean, he says. And there's no question at all about the ability of our Lord Jesus to cleanse us from the leprosy of our sins. That's the very thing he came to do. The Apostle Paul says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. It is the Lord Jesus, the righteous who died for the unrighteous, who is able to bring us to God, the Apostle Peter says. And the Lord Jesus is able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through him. There is no question in our minds. There ought to be no question. You ought not to doubt at all that the Lord Jesus can take your sinful heart and cleanse it completely and purify you absolutely and make you clean. He can do it. But would he do it? And I suppose that this is where some of us might waver. We don't doubt that he can do it, that he is the only mediator, the one sacrifice, that when he said, it is finished, he meant it is finished, that nothing more needed to be done. His sacrifice can fully atone for the sins of his people, but would he save me? And I say, of course he would. Absolutely. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, but would he save me? You don't know how long I've been sinning. You don't know how deep the depravity of my heart is. You don't know how many times I've said to the Lord, I'm done with that sin. I'll never do it again. I promise I'm over with it. And yet, you broke your promise and you went back to that sin. And you can see why Christ might be willing to save other people. But there's no way. You've out-sinned grace. You've gone too far. And the thing is, it's the very thing that Satan wants you to believe as well. that he's always unsettling you. He's always reminded you of how often you have failed and how deeply you have fallen and how desperately unclean you are. He's always there to remind you of that. And he's saying, had you only come a year ago, had you only come 10 years ago, it would have been okay. But you've lived too long in your sin. And there's no way that Jesus will ever receive you. That's what you might be thinking. But let's actually listen to what the Word says. You don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to take anyone else's word for it. But let's look at what the Word of God says. Because here you have the most unlikely scenario possible. There's this leper who's not supposed to come into the presence of the clean. And you have this Jesus who didn't come to do miracles. He came to preach. And that's what he wants to do. So that you can see earlier in the chapter when Simon says, Jesus, we need to get up because everyone's looking for you. And Jesus said, no, I need to leave this place because I've come to preach the gospel in other places. So that in many ways, the healing is a distraction to Jesus' ministry. He wants to preach the gospel, the truth. And so you have a man who's not supposed to be in the presence of the clean. You have a prophet who is committed to preaching the word, and he doesn't want to be interrupted by healing. And you can well imagine that this is not going to end well. But look at how it ends. So this man comes to Jesus, this leper, implores him, kneels down, says to him, "You are willing. If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." You didn't expect that, did you? Well, you did because you know the story. But imagine if you were the leper. Would you expect that? That Jesus would be moved with compassion. That he would stretch out his hand. When was the last time anyone stretched out his hand and touched this man? But Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be clean." And you know what you see here is a most glorious display of the suitability of Jesus Christ for sinners. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, forgiveness receives. And what makes Jesus so uniquely qualified to be our Savior is that he is both able and he is willing. We know people who are able but unwilling. We know people who are willing but unable to help. And neither one of those will do us any good. We need someone who is both able and willing to help us. Children, imagine that you're in your vehicle and you're on the side of the 401 because you have a punctured tire. And for some reason, you're unable and your father and mother are unable to change the tire. You just hope that someone stops and helps you. And you see these trucks go by with big, burly men who could probably lift up your car with one hand while they loosen the lug nuts with the other, but they just keep on whizzing by. They don't care about you at all. They're able to help you. There's no doubt about that. They're strong, but they don't care about you, and they've got other things to do, and they just whiz on by. And you're waiting for someone to stop and help, and then all of a sudden you see a car pull up behind you. You say, "Yes, finally." And it takes a while for the car door to open, but finally it does open, and there's this little old lady. And she comes up to you and she says, "Sonny, how can I help you?" And you explain your problem to her. "Well, my tire is punctured and I'm not able to change it myself." And she says, "Oh, my back's not as good as it used to be. I would love to help you, but I just can't help you today." And you say, "Well, there's the problem." So you have people who are able to help you, but they don't want to. And then you have someone who wants to help you, but she's unable. Now, if you had to choose between the two, you'd rather be with that old lady who can't help you than with those burly men who could and didn't. But here's the thing, that with the Lord Jesus, you don't need to choose the one or the other. I'm getting contacts fitted, and I need multifocal contacts. And my optometrist says that, John, here's the situation. You can either see really clear distance, but then your close-up might have a problem, or the other way around, because I've got astigmatism. And so I have to choose between the lesser of the two evils. But you never have to do that with the Lord Jesus, because He's able to help you, and He's willing to help you. He is such a supremely suitable Savior for sinners. But how does He save? Why is He able to save? Well, it's clear that He saves through the Word. You can see that in verse 41. It's that He said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed," and that as soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy left Him and He was cleansed. So it's through the Word. But it's not through the bare Word. It's through the Word of the One who has come to trade places with sinners. And you can see this in a couple ways in this passage. You can see it, first of all, in the fact that the Lord Jesus stretched out His hand and touched Him. Now, why did Jesus do that? He knew the Old Testament law that anyone who touches the unclean becomes unclean. And He knew as well that it wasn't necessary that He touch him for him to be healed. You children know the story of Naaman the Syrian, who came to the prophet to be healed of his leprosy. And the prophet sent his servant Gehazi and says, "You go tell Naaman to go wash in the Jordan 7 times and he will be cleansed." And Naaman was upset by that. He wanted the prophet to come and to heal him. But the prophet didn't need to come. He just could speak the word and the man could be healed. And similarly here, all Jesus needed to say was, "I am willing, be cleansed," and the man would be cleansed. It wasn't His touching that cleansed the man. It was His word. But why then did He touch him? Well, I'll tell you why He touched him. He touched him because He was saying that He was trading places with this man. So that really what He was saying is that, "I am willing to become like you so that you can become like me. So I'm willing to be unclean and ostracized and removed from society so that you might know the blessings of fellowship with humanity. I am willing to become like you so that you can become like me." That's the first instance of Jesus trading places. But then there's another one in verses 43 to 45. It's quite a convoluted passage. Jesus tells a man not to tell anyone that Jesus has healed him, and we show surprise at that, but there's a reason for that, because Jesus knows that if all people hear is that I had leprosy and He cleansed me, they would misunderstand who Jesus was. They would think He's some miracle worker, when you really only understand Jesus in light of the cross, which comes later on in Jesus' life and ministry. He tells the man to go show himself to the priests and to offer for his cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. That is, Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but He came to fulfill the law. But as it happened, the man, verse 45, went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter. That is, the man disobeyed the Lord Jesus. And look at the repercussions of his sin. So that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to Him from every direction. Now, did you see what's going on here? Ask yourself the question, who should be outside in deserted places? Well, the leper, of course. He had to dwell outside the camp. He couldn't walk around freely and talk to whomever he wished. But he can now. And it's Jesus Jesus is the one who must be outside in deserted places. So that what you have happening here is that they've traded places. The leper gets to live like Jesus lived, and Jesus gets to live like the leper lived. Because when Jesus heals the man, he heals him by trading places with him. And that is an illustration of the gospel of grace. Because what you have in this passage is that you have an illustration of the blessings of the kingdom. Remember that Jesus came and he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what is the kingdom of God? But it is the reign and the rule of God as he comes into this world that is enthralled with Satan and under his authority. And he comes back, or he comes into this world and he pushes back Satan's kingdom. So that wherever there is sickness, he brings health. Wherever there is death, he brings life. He drives back Satan's kingdom and establishes the rule of righteousness and grace. Wherever there is cursing, he brings blessing. So that Jesus comes to bring the kingdom of God, to reverse the curse in this world, and to restore fellowship between sinners and their God. And this passage highlights that so clearly, that Jesus comes to bring the blessings of the kingdom. But it also highlights how those blessings come. And that is, it is by Jesus identifying himself with us. And he identifies with us in our humanity. Since the children who are brought to glory have flesh and blood, he too took their humanity upon himself so that Christ, the eternal Son of God, becomes man and dwells amongst us, that he is as human as we are human. He shares our DNA. He shares our anatomy. He is fully God, and yet he is fully man. He identifies with us in our humanity in every way imaginable, except that he is without sin. He becomes flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. He's a son of Adam as we are sons of Adam, except that he is without sin. He comes to us and he identifies with us in our humanity. But that's not enough. So that the Lord Jesus does one thing more. He identifies with us in our sin. So that the Apostle Paul can say, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, as he expostulates on the glorious gospel, he says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Or if you want to hear that in connection with this gospel passage, God made him who was clean to be unclean for us, so that in him we might know the purity of God. Remember what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 13. That Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, how did he do that? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Christ identifies with us, not only in our humanity, but also in our sin. He reaches out his hand and he touches us and he says, I am willing to become like you so that you can become like me. The Lord Jesus trades places with sinners. Well, that's the gospel according to Mark Twain. And that's the story, children, I referred to at the beginning, The Prince and the Pauper, well worth a read. But it's also the gospel according to the writer, Mark. Because this is what Mark says in Mark 10, quoting the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man, the King, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And this is why I thought this week, as I was asked by Lawrence to have a preparatory service. He actually asked me to do a catechism and a preparatory service in the same service, but I declined the one to do the other. And the week of preparation, it is about self-examination in many ways, isn't it? But it can never be only about self-examination, because then you would never come to the table of the Lord. Because there is an uncleanness about us, isn't there? There's a filthiness that if you examine yourself, and even your most holy deeds are still so incredibly tainted and impure. When you pray, you wander, you think about other things, you confess the sin. And while you're confessing the sin, you sin it all over again. And you think, well, there's just no way. There's absolutely no way that I could ever come to the table of the Lord. There's just no way that the unclean can sit at the table with the clean, the pure, the holy, the sinless Son of God. It's not possible for that to happen. And so that's why I wanted to put before you the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his suitability for sinners. That the Holy Son of God took our humanity and takes our sin. So that if you trade places with Jesus, then you are, listen to this, then you are as clean as he is clean. You are as holy as he is holy. Because he has taken your sin and he has gone to the cross and borne them. And he has faced the judgment of God, the judgment that you deserve. But then his cleanness is given to you when you give him your uncleanness. And so that's really what you need to be doing this week. Examine yourself, absolutely. But examine Christ more as the holy, clean Son of God who gave himself for sinners. Not sinners who are better than they were the last time the Lord's Supper rolled around. Not sinners who promise to be better in the next week. Not sinners who can keep from sin this week. If only I could stop this sin for this week, then I'll go to the Lord's table on Sunday. No, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Sinners who sin. Sinners who have come to him in repentance, lamenting their uncleanness and taking his cleanness for them. Sinners who trade places with the Lord Jesus. When we were in Scotland, if you would go to the shops, you would see some signage talking about free trade coffee or free trade chocolate. And the idea was that producers in developing countries would receive a fair market price for their product, and you'd have to pay a little more at this end, but at least it was fair trade. Well, that might be fine when it comes to helping third world or producing nations. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus, it's not fair trade you want. It's unfair trade. You want to give him your sin and take his righteousness. You want to give him your judgment and take his salvation, your curse and take his blessing. You want to give him your death and take his life. So have you traded places with Lord Jesus? Well, how do I do that? Now, a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Except we'd want to put a twist on that, wouldn't we? "Since you are willing, you can make me clean." That's how you trade places with the Lord Jesus. And I urge you to do that. Even if there were no Lord's Supper coming up this week, there is a supper in heaven that is awaiting all of God's people. And that's the supper you want to be at. And the only way there is by trading places with the Lord Jesus. Well, let's pray together.